Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we certainly would love to hear from you. So send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Now, today is a very special day. It's part one of our year in review episodes for 2025, where we look back at some of our favorite guests and their testimonies and the apostolates. It is a great blessing to be able to have this show and the opportunity to bring people from all over the country to join us at EWTN and to share how they are spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, healing to those who are wounded, and being living reflections of the love of God the Father. So today, we will be looking back at some of our guests who inspire hope and despair and are beacons of light to those in dark places. We'll also look at some of our guests who are true stewards of charity and mercy by providing dwellings for the least of us. And it's not just housing they provide, but loving communities for those who need it the most. We're so blessed to have many of these guests.
So we'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away. Welcome back. We're starting our first year in review of 2025 with highlights from some of our guests that provide hope in despair. We'll first hear from Dr. Kimberly Hinkle, who is the founder of Springs of Love, which is an apostolate that works to help Catholic families in fostering and adoption. Her episodes first aired on October 29th. And then we will hear from the founder of Catholic in Recovery, Scott Wieman, and his powerful testimony of overcoming alcoholism and addiction. His episodes aired on August 10th. Let's take a look.
So Springs of Love exists to help Catholics discern and live out the call to foster and adopt, and also to build communities of support to help accompany really everyone touched by fostering and adoption.
Those are your Spring for Love chapters.
Springs of Love chapters, right. Yes, and parishes, so that we can help form people to have an accompaniment ministry specifically to help all of those who have been touched by fostering and adoption.
Who are all those touched by that?
So we're talking
what people
about,
are you speaking about?
The foster adoptive parents, right. The former foster youth, adult adoptees, even children who have been adopted. We're right now creating resources for them, birth mothers, birth families. So we're trying to really walk with everyone who has been touched by this.
Because it is a big ripple effect,
yes.
Right? It's not just the child that comes into your family. There is a big ripple effect of love, but yet of woundedness, of concerns and maybe questioning, did I do the right thing? Should we have said yes to this? I said I wanted to do this. And so you want to help accompany them and navigate that journey with them.
Definitely, because I know my husband and I, when we fostered, we felt really alone in this. And people in the Catholic Church just didn't really know how to help us. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to create that, just a template to help walk with them to say, this is the support that families need.
And a new aspect to your incredible ministry is building and belonging. You didn't have that when you first came here. It's a curriculum for foster care and adoptive families. Videos with that, so share with us, because you're really about forming as well as informing people, accompanying them in the decision, but you want to form people in this to help and assist others.
Yes, because I think that, our faith gets really tested when we step into these hard places. We can be really tested, and we need to be so strong in our faith. We need to know that Christ is with us, that he is with our children. We need to look at our child not through the lens of their trauma, but to see them as a beloved child of God. We need to, you know, we need that help. And so we felt like it was very important to create a curriculum specifically for Catholics. There has been nothing like this ever created. So when you go through foster care training, you have to watch a lot of videos and go through a lot of training, and it's all done through the state. And a lot of these videos are very low quality, and they're certainly not bringing our faith into it. So we wanted to create something that actually was very Catholic, that actually helps us to see our child's story through the lens of faith. And then to explain that to our children, because sometimes it can be very hard to explain, you know, well, why am I not with my birth family? Why did this happen? Why did God allow this? Like, this is how we're trying to help form families, to be able to be so closely united with Christ that they can impart that to their children, and they can help their child accompany them through their story, through the wounds, through the rejection wounds and pain of being separated from their birth families.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing in the journey and the belonging is God wanted me.
Yeah.
God wanted me. And all of us as children of God, God wants us.
Exactly.
And every human being, whether our birth mother wanted us, or we were planned or an unexpected, even in a loving two-parent family, God wanted us.
Absolutely.
And it's beautiful that we exist. And so you want to communicate that to every child, whether they're your birth or they're adopted. And so you equip them, give them tools so that they don't have to feel alone. Because you and your husband, Greg, have paid a great price of being alone. And I'm sure you've had great successes and great failures. And you're just kind of like, we want to build a culture so people can come up in this.
Yeah, definitely.
What is the impact that it's having? Yeah.
Well, it's been so beautiful because I have families coming to me now saying, you know, because of Springs of Love, we are now fostering. And so that, of course, is the most exciting thing of all, to think that helped somebody. But this curriculum is just finishing up right now. So we just finished up a pilot of it. It's a video-based program. And what we did was interview foster adoptive families, former foster youth, adoptees, birth moms, counselors, Catholic counselors.
We got to see an episode of that. Mm-hmm. It's very well done. All the different aspects, very moving and clear.
And there was this day in October 2011 that I thought that I maybe could stay in her good graces if I just did the right thing. We had a very codependent relationship. And I was caught in another lie once more. And the look on her face when caught in this lie was just this, Scott, you are absolutely hopeless. You're never going to change. Mm-hmm. And she said exactly what I was feeling. Mm-hmm. Alcohol, drugs, other addictive behaviors and substances had become the greatest priority in my life and shut out others in my life to pursue that. Now, this was a blessing. I drank myself to sleep that night. The next day, I took my little beach cruiser bike to Mission Bay in San Diego and pushed it through the heavy sand, pulled my phone out of my pocket, which seemed to weigh about 500 pounds, and made a few calls back home. A few close friends, my mom and my dad, to tell them what they already knew, that I had a problem and I needed help. And drank myself to sleep that night, but the next morning went to a 12-step recovery group. And I didn't have a lot of hope. I thought that, I'm a complicated guy, a complex guy. I need complex solutions. good for them, but I didn't think that this was going to work for me. Mm-hmm. But I had nowhere else to turn and was desperate. And I remember that morning walking into a 12-step meeting. It was on the second floor of an Episcopal church about three blocks from the beach. Mm-hmm. And I could hear laughter upstairs, actually, as I got to the stairwell. I thought, if these people have any idea what I'm going through, there's no reason for them to be laughing. Mm-hmm. I've got to be in the wrong place. Made my way up to the back corner of that room. We had a meeting. People were sharing, were kind of telling my story through their own story. And recall that afterwards, we got around in a circle, put our arms around each other's shoulders, and prayed the Lord's Prayer, one of the few prayers that I had known from my childhood. Grew up nominally Catholic, but that wasn't a big priority for our family. And this sensation of just being at home kind of swept over me, like I found my people. I didn't have a ton of time to sit and process that, as right afterwards, a man darted across the room. He looked me in the eyes and said, I know exactly how you feel. You don't ever have to drink again. And that was just subtly different from the way that my very concerned and loving family members and friends were speaking to me. Mm-hmm. But it was from this place of personal experience. And invited me to go get coffee with him immediately after the meeting. And we made that a routine. Recovery meeting in the morning, coffee, read through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the basic text of 12-step recovery, and cross-reference that with the Bible, and started to build really a foundation of faith and recovery to rebuild my life. Mm-hmm. And so grateful. Yeah, that's really where everything turned around. And these men and women who are part of my church life, my recovery life, helped to restore me back to life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Did you go back to the Catholic Church then? Or what did you do?
Yeah, day three of my sobriety. Okay. I got sober on a Monday and was in a Bible study on a Wednesday. Now, I got to be honest, my ambitions or motivations were partly to win back an ex-girlfriend that was very Catholic. Mm-hmm. I thought if I looked like a good Catholic boy for a little bit, she might take me back. She's got to take me back. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But I found there a relationship with Christ and his disciples and really found both freedom in the church and in 12-step recovery groups. And that created a pathway for new life, purpose, joy, all the things that I thought I was gonna find in the bottle or in the drugs or in the lustful behavior, I found come to life through the 12 steps of recovery and the sacramental life of the church.
Mm. I mean, thank God.
What that guy said to you is just so incredibly powerful. I mean, you know the grip of these addictions on your life.
Yeah.
You know what the girlfriend said, you're never gonna change. And you may have been saying that to yourself.
It
this
was.
Guy comes up to you and he says something like, I know exactly how you feel.
Yeah.
And you never have to drink again. It's like, that's hopeful, but it's like, I don't know how that's going to happen. But this guy's really saying it. You needed to hear that. I don't know if anybody else could say that to you except this, you know, this guy that just walked through this.
I was intrigued. He had what I wanted, yeah.
Right.
It would have been probably the last of the people if you had put all the people in that meeting.
Right.
Said, Scott, go ahead, choose who's going to save your life today. Mm-hmm. He would have been among the last people I would have chosen.
Mm-hmm.
But he saved my life, and he was delivering to me something that only he could.
Right.
And through his experience. And that subtle, I know how you feel.
Yeah.
You don't ever have to drink again. It didn't seem optional to me prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to cut through all of the shame and fear and resentment and hopelessness to just crack open the door of grace. And of course, from there, God blew it off of its hinges.
Well, what a privilege to have so many of these wonderful guests on our show. Kimberly Hinkle's work with Springs of Love. If you know anyone who is wanting to foster or adopt and is struggling to do so, or is in need of resources when it comes to fostering and adoption, you could go out to the website springsoflove.org.
Scott Wieman's testimony was just absolutely incredible and just gives so much hope. I love the guy that was speaking to him and said, I know exactly what you're going through. You never have to drink again.
Yes.
I mean, wow, talk about evangelization in context of a tremendous struggle. So if you know someone who's struggling with addiction, you can go out to his website at catholicinrecovery.com. Great episodes that really show there's always hope, even in despair. There's plenty more to come. When we come back, we'll highlight some of our favorite guests who provide dwellings for the least of us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Well, we are continuing our first year in review of 2025, and we will now look at some of the highlights from some of our guests who provide dwellings for the least of us. We're going to first take a look at Ann Leopold, who is the founder and CEO of Emmaus Home. And Emmaus Home provides faith-based housing and care for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Her episodes first air on July 16th. And then we're gonna take a look at Kay Traddles, who is the executive director of Mary's Shelter. And Mary's Shelter is one of a kind crisis pregnancy shelter that ensures women have a safe place to deliver and raise their children. Her episodes first aired on November 26th. Let's take a look.
I founded Emmaus Home almost 11 years ago, and on behalf of my son, Kevin, fourth of my eight children, who has severe autism and intellectual disabilities. And I didn't like what I saw in the secular world. I didn't think there was any place that could match the love of his family for him. So I founded a nonprofit, Emmaus Home. The gospel of the road to Emmaus really was the catalyst behind the name. Mm-hmm. The disciples didn't recognize Jesus, and I feel society doesn't recognize all the good in our residents with disabilities. Mm-hmm. It's not what they do, it's who they are as beloved children of God. And they're so beloved. And they teach us really the secret of life. Mm-hmm. You know, what you see is what you get. And they're so pure of heart mm-hmm. that they're just a joy to be around.
Right.
That doesn't mean it's easy. Mm-hmm. They have challenging behaviors. You know, and they could be very childlike in their emotions. So, you know, it's not easy, but then nothing that you do for the Lord is easy, is
right.
it?
Mm-hmm.
We have presently 21 individuals that we provide housing for, and then we also go into additional people's houses to help their children mm-hmm. that are not ready, you know, to place their children. Mm-hmm. And there is a waiting list of 30 individuals that are waiting to get into one of our houses. Mm-hmm. But it's such a daunting process to acquire a house. We mm-hmm. don't own many of our homes. We only own one, actually, mm-hmm. Because it is so expensive right yeah. now to buy a home. So there's a great need, and we rent homes, and that's not always the most stable thing. Mm-hmm. A landlord at 30 days notice could
sure.
evict us.
Mm-hmm.
So we want really to own our own homes just for the security and stability for our beloved residents.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually my husband who came up with that mm-hmm. Name. Because everyone has an ability, mm-hmm. you know, one way or the other, as the video highlights. But it was in my mind's eye for a couple of years, and I wanted a place, a belonging place, where our people and other people could come and hang out together, form relationships, and, you know, listen to live music. So we have live music now twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
We have Christian singers that come in on Thursdays, and we have a jazz trio on Saturdays.
Yes.
So it took about a year. We got a donation, and we had to renovate and make a former insurance office ADA compliant, mm-hmm. and that included an ADA bathroom. So that took a while. So we officially opened this past January, and we're open 5 days a week, and I'm there a lot. So that's mm-hmm. taking up a lot of my time
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, God really does have a sense of humor, because I never thought I would be a barista at this stage of my life.
You've been that all your life. You just didn't know the name for it. You've been serving coffee all along.
Yes. So, so it's a great place. Families come in. You know, I have games around. They play checkers. One dad is teaching his little girl how to play checkers. I think that's so
mm-hmm,
cute. And
mm-hmm.
Another young man showed up one day with a suit and tie in his resume. He's special needs, but he's mm-hmm. going to college,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted to know how he could help.
Mm-hmm.
Another kid writes rap music, and he comes in and sings rap music
yeah.
every now and again
yeah.
on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I've had local schools come in after showing the video. Then the kids come in, and like, to me, that just broke. That was everything
yeah,
to me. You know,
beautiful.
That kind of thing's happening.
We do care, and that's one of the things that we discuss often in board meetings, is that, you know, so often people on the other side have said, oh, those pro-lifers, they just want to get the baby born.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, we want to change lives.
Mm.
We want to make how do you make a baby's life better?
Mm-hmm.
Through their mom.
Right.
Yeah.
By making their mother's life better.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
that is just so fundamental to us.
Yeah.
And yes, it's a maternity home, but it's more than that.
Right.
It's a whole program.
Right.
It's a 15-month program. It's not someplace to come have your baby and, okay, well, bye, here's some diapers and, you know, a car yeah. seat. Have a nice life.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's life-changing. It's generationally life-changing.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. And you know, when I first got into this business, I really had the thought that women who were living a certain sort of life, let's say our demographic, those that are disenfranchised, are impoverished, are you know, perhaps on drugs, that sort of thing, that those women were getting pregnant, that homeless women were getting pregnant. And that is just not the reality.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is the pregnancy is what's causing the homelessness.
Wow.
Because whomever they're living with, whether it be the father of the baby, they're sometimes their own parents,
yeah.
usually a toxic relationship, whomever they're living with, once
right.
they get pregnant,
yes.
it's get rid of it or get out. I
right.
can't
no,
tell you the
true.
Number
mm-hmm.
of times I hear that.
That is true.
So these women are the most courageous women imaginable. They are plunging themselves into homelessness to save the life of their baby.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And that's courage. That's real raw courage. Mm. So, you know, I admire them. I admire each and every one of them mm-hmm. for seeking out a program like
yeah.
this.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Kat. I've been at Mary Shelter for almost a year. December 10th will be a year. I've excelled in the program. And when my 15 months is up, me and my girls get to move into this beautiful 3-bedroom, 2-bath house that is in Mary's Village. It is the transition part of the shelter. Once you graduate from the shelter, you get to stay in their 3-bedroom, 2-bath house until you move on to buy your own home. You have no idea how much this means to me and my girls. I have worked so hard. I was very determined when I got here to make sure that I did what I needed to do to get to this final point. But I'm not done yet. There's one more step. Once I get out of here, me and my babies get to pick our forever home. And you have no idea how much that means to us.
Excellent.
Praise
so tell
Lord.
Us about Kat. Now, she also said the children went over and they ran through the house. They were so excited choosing their bedrooms.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. She has a little 7-year-old who was over there with her. And, of course, at Mary's Shelter, we're in a group living situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's difficult on school-age children
yeah.
because they can't have friends over,
right.
You know. And the first thing she said, she looked at our program director and she said, "Miss Jen, will you come to my first sleepover?"
That's great.
I mean, it was just beautiful.
Yes.
And I guess that's what I mean. You know, we talked a little bit in the last episode about we become their family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And they become ours.
Yes.
And they come back for holidays. They'll be back on Christmas morning.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, we treat we call them our Exodus moms, our moms that mm-hmm. have finished the program and live independently. And they'll come back on Christmas morning, and we always make sure there are
mm-hmm.
gifts. We,
mm-hmm.
you know, we make sure there's gifts mm-hmm. for their children mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
And it's not a bond that lasts 15 months or even 39
right.
months.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bond that lasts a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And they bond with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They become like sisters, and they fight like sisters
right.
as well.
Right.
mm-hmm. Well, just incredible shows, Joy. I mean, Ann Leopold and Emmaus Home, the new coffee house that they've started. An amazing dwelling place, homes, mm. for those with special needs and disabilities. If you want to support Emmaus Home, go out to emmaushome.org. That's emmaushome.org. And Mary's Shelter with Kay Traddles,
mm-hmm.
right here in Alabama, South Alabama. Amazing reformation program for those who are out on the streets and pregnant. You could be there for 15 months. They are living in the home, going through that process. You come with your children, then you can move on to the village,
mm-hmm.
and they're looking to build homes in that village, save up your money because they're working, and then finally purchase a home for yourself and for your children. If you want to support Mary's Shelter and the ongoing project of building Mary's Village, go out to maryssheltergulfcoast.org, maryssheltergulfcoast.org. Thank you so much for joining us today as we look back on these great moments and as we enter into a new year. Be sure to join us tomorrow for part two of Year in Review 2025 as we look at highlights from some of our guests who are transforming the culture and equipping Catholic men. You're an important part of this family. You're never alone, and you're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.